Romans 16.
In the beginning.
We're going to spend a little more time on what we studied yesterday. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Verse 17, we talked yesterday about the word offense is scandalon. It's used in a few places. If you offend one of these, my little one, it would be best for you that a millstone were hung about your neck. And it's used in discussing Christ, that he is an offense. And so both of those are scandalous. For the human race, Christ is the ultimate offense, because it destroys his life and death and resurrection, absolutely destroys self-realization. And until you know that, you're going to continually be in a battle. The lust, the flesh is trying to suppress down the spirit. The spirit's trying to suppress down the flesh. So you cannot do the things that you would. And that's a good battle. You think it's terrible. Until you finally come to the end. Stop thinking at all about self-realization. Now they describe those that are teaching self-realization. In verse 18.
Just one comment. If you're not in the battle, this means nothing. The point is to be in the battle, to see.
Well, the point of the battle is that hopefully at some point, like maybe after 36 years, the battle will be over. You don't see it anymore. You don't give breath to the other part of the battle.
I'm trying to get personal?
No, it was just general.
Okay.
All right. And then it describes what they do. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word serve there is a word that means yield. But their own belly. And the word belly is their appetites, what the soul desires. All souls desire self-realization. That's why it is the ultimate sin. It's the cornerstone of all sin, because self needs to be realized. And every one of us have been guilty of that. Maybe still are. When you finally see the futility and emptiness of all human effort, and especially all of your own, then and only then can you be free.
So it means when you're born in the sin,
the human race,
yeah, you are guilty, period.
That's where the original sin is, in sex. The original sin is the curse of the fall, which is self-realization. All right. For they are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And I just find this fascinating. The word, there's one word for good words. It's krestologia. It means fair speaking, with smooth and plausible words which stimulate goodness. Everybody wants to stimulate goodness. Fair speeches, language artfully adapted to deceive. But they don't know they're deceiving because they believe their own crap. You know, I know that I've met with Benny Hinn. I know he believes that what he's saying is true. That's what makes it so dangerous. Con men like, you know, W.B. Grant and others are, you know, they're just con men. So with words designed to directly appeal to the self-realization within you. And fair speeches, smooth words, artfully designed to beguile. They beguile or deceive the naive. That's why American Christianity is fundamentally infantile. Because it has as its predicate that the purpose of Christ's incarnation, his suffering, his death and resurrection was so you could get stuff. It's all a lie. They believe the lie, is what Paul said. The lie.
Or even that you could be good.
Well, that's part of it, yeah.
Could I ask you, Ole, you may have spent some time yesterday on this, but what do you make of the word division in 17?
Divisions is... I just happen to have that. It's in both its divisions. It just means dissension. It's dikostasia. And offenses is scandalon. But in both cases, in the Greek, there's a definite article in it. So that means that what to the listener, or to the one that this is written to. When it has the definite article, it means that they would know what particular things these two things mean. Because they've been written about, they're well known within the church. The divisions, the dissensions to the mystery of Christ, and the offenses. Okay? All right. Serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but serve their own appetites. And you know where we're going. Philippians 3. Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetite, same word is used in Romans, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So again, and it all goes back. Let's go back to Genesis 3.
It's interesting that's in italics or in parentheses.
Genesis 3.
Somebody didn't want it in there.
Verse 9, this is after they've eaten of the tree. Well, let's go. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons or coverings. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? And the word naked here doesn't mean necessarily just without clothes. It means that you're fully exposed. It means that it it means that you're hiding something.
I mean, you busted.
I mean, you're afraid of exposing something, is the way I should say. And so, the eternal question that the Holy Spirit is continually asking us, every time you get in one of these little trips, is who told you were naked? Who told you needed something? Who told you needed to be different than you are? Who told you? It goes on and on and on. Who told you? Oh, I'm just so sensitive. Who told you? I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Who told you? Who told you? I'm just going to answer that. Who told you that? But I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And remember, this is the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We think it's the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of evil. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, if you believe in comic book theology and you believe that a snake is running around talking, then we've got a problem. The snake was her mind. The Lord God said unto the serpent, unto your mind, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. But again, a better translation is, by thy belly shalt thou be led, by thy appetites, by thy needs, your wants, you shall be led, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And until you pick up the cross of Christ, that is all you will ever eat is dust. Whether it's fame or fortune or accomplishment or education or gold or diamonds, it's all dust. Amen? Amen? My belly shall go and dust shall eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That enmity has never stopped.
It's enmity.
Intense. It's hatred so extent that somebody has to die.
Nothing.
All right, back to Romans.
Well, before you leave that, you were saying he's going to put enmity between the serpent or the mind and her seed. Who are the parties here?
The opposer and his children, the seed, thy seed, that's the serpent seed, and the seed of woman, which is, the word seed is never applied to woman, it's a sperma is what it is, so the only seed of woman that has ever been is the Messiah.
Let's think about false doctrine, preachers, myself included, if I'm preaching a doctrine that tells you you're naked and here's what will cover you up, then I should be stuck on a millstone around my neck or whatever.
As soon as you say, tell anybody they need something or they need to do something.
Right.
All you need to do is see.
Well, then wait a minute. The people who are proponents of the prosperity gospel, whether they be the evangelists or actually their congregation,
are the whole of the world.
If they believe, like you said they do, what should our prayer for them be? How do we react to that? We can't expect them to change.
Right.
We pray for the church. to pray for them that they would see the mystery of Christ. And that's what I do. I pray for Benny Hinn and Copeland every day. And their followers.
Well, yeah. But we also send letters to the Senate Finance Committee and things like that.
After 20 years, I've tried not to do that. I wanted the leaders of the church in this country to stand up and say, that's enough. And they wouldn't do it. And that's why we agreed to work with the Senate.
I understand that, but it's a thin line.
Tell me about it. It's extremely thin line. All right. And deceive the Senate.
Did that answer your question?
It's the answer I expected. It's the answer I know. I don't know if there's another one, but I don't know if there is an answer to that.
Well, Gary and I talked about that this morning on the way up, because that very same thing. Just
trick or treat for UNICEF.
Hey.
Just because I had the same question he did.
Well, I did too. That's why we didn't. That's why I waited 20 years. Again, the prayer for 20 years was that the leaders of the church, they all told me privately that we're doing it, go get them, we're doing the right, you know. W.A. Criswell told me privately. Others, many others. But they wouldn't stand up because these guys were so litigious and they had too much to lose.
Empty their pews.
Everybody that I respect in the church world, is, including professors at Dallas Theological Seminary, have told me how much they admire what we do, how necessary it is for the body of Christ.
I have no question about it.
Well,
I'm
just asking your question. This is to you, not just you, but it's the people that are listening. If you have any questions, look. If you have any questions about this being scriptural, look in our website. There's a whole piece written called Why We Investigate.
Oh, I know.
Amen?
We just read that. Paul talked about the enemies of the cross of Christ.
Yeah. Alright. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Alright. The God of peace. Peace is this great word in Greek. It's Irene. And it literally means the absence of againstness. That you are without. There's paper right next to you. There's those little thingies right there. Except it cost you a dollar for each one you messed up.
Good night, Irene.
All right. So what can you conceive of what it means to be have the opposite, the meaning in you, that he would live, the absence of againstness? He's the God of peace. And you're partaker of his glory, of his persona. That means that your inheritance is to know and see and understand that there is nothing against you. That's why Paul talks about patiently teaching those that oppose themselves. They oppose themselves because they haven't fully apprehended that which for they have already been apprehended by. The moment you think you have something external to you that is messing with you, then you've been deceived, because then you are no longer a partaker of this God of peace. Then you have something, somebody's been doing something. Amen? Bruise. The God of peace. It's an interesting thing about what this sentence says. The God of peace shall bruise Satan now, under your feet. Now, at this time, you got to understand, Jesus said that the prince of the world has been defeated.
Yeah.
But here it says that soon the God of peace will bruise Satan's head under your feet. And the reason it's under your feet is because you have to see that this thing is defeated in you. That you no longer give any breath to your emotions or your mind or how you feel about something. You don't give any breath. Unfortunately, it's this. I can't give any breath to pain. You can't give any breath to emotions. And once you were no longer debtor to that, then you have been, then you become the partaker of the God of peace. And that's why it says he shall bruise him under your feet. He's already been bruised under the, overcome under the feet of Jesus. But now that has to be manifest in you. Everybody understand? All right. Shortly it's just the word in speed. In other words, Paul is confident because he's confident that he that has had begun a good work in these people will finish it shortly. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Grace is charis. It means it's all the good things that you can conceive of, but the only way you can receive it is that if you know it's unmerited, that you have no right to it. That's the meaning of grace. As long as you have any sense of entitlement for anything, then you cannot experience grace. You can only experience some kind of a substitute that the world gives you.
Well, what's the difference between that and low self-esteem?
Low self-esteem?
Yeah.
No self-esteem. No recognition of self, positive or negative.
Oh, okay.
You've abandoned yourself.
Right.
Low self-esteem is no different than high self-esteem.
Right.
They're both ego trips. Oh, I'm just so shy.
I got it.
You're shy because you're concerned with somebody's response to you.
That's right.
I'm going to go commit suicide. Well, that's the biggest ego trip in the universe. Doesn't seem like it. Lord is Kyrios. He means, and it's interesting that we know these words. Kyrios, not Kyrios. Kyrios, K-Y-R-I-O-S. It means possessor. It means he owns you. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. You have no business taking any thought about or for yourself in any dimension. And of course, Jesus is a Jesus in Greek, and it just means God is salvation. And Christ is Christos, which means the anointed one. So Jesus Christ is his name. Jesus is his name, but his office is the anointed one, and he's the only one that's anointed. Amen. Next, well, we're going to talk about Timothy, and that's next. Anybody have any response or questions or anything? Don't be among those that Paul warned about. But if you are the enemy of the cross of Christ. Mm-hmm. whose God is their belly, their appetites. What you think you should do, that's still an appetite. It's this whole idea of satisfying the soulish nature. Everybody understand the difference between soul and spirit? Soul is your you-ness. What makes you you? But it's all based on temporal things.
That includes the conscience, right?
Everything. It's all based on temporal things. And all things about you that are time-dependent are of the soul. As long as you're feeding the soul, at best, you are yet carnal. As long as you're giving breath to what your mind says, no matter how important you think it is for Jesus, you're still carnal. Spirit cannot, nothing in the spirit can be time dependent. Amen. Anybody have anything else?
Yeah, what does that mean?
What?
Nothing in the spirit can be time dependent. So what is the spirit?
The spirit is the movement of God in time and space that reveals Messiah, that reveals Christ. But we've come to make it local. Oh, the Holy Spirit just told me. No, he didn't.
That's why I mentioned the conscience. A lot of people think their conscience is
the conscience of the Holy Spirit. The conscience of the crap you learned before the age of reason.
Try and go against it, and that's when it, the battle
begins. Oh, let your conscience be your God. Scriptures say that the blood of Christ has emptied your conscience from these dead works. I think I've said about 15 things that offended you, Bruce.
No, you haven't said anything.
No?
Good. Just waiting for a word of knowledge from Bojo. Sorry, my bad.
Anybody else?
When you say the spirit is not time dependent, is that simply because God lives outside of time?
Well, the spirit, it works in time and space.
Right.
Or not in space, he works in time. He works in space without regard to time.
Never late.
But his purpose is always to reveal the Son. He will reveal me. He will reveal the things of me, Jesus said. And his purpose in time and space is threefold. Jesus said this is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. To convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Those three things. Of sin, not because of what you do or don't do, but of sin because you believe not on him. You believe, no, it doesn't mean you say, oh, like Jesus exists. It means, and pistis, it means total dependence. Of sin because they believe not in me. Of righteousness because I've gone to the Father. Now, that's the only definition of righteousness in the entire time and space. If you think if you try to be righteous in any other way, then you will be deceived. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. And that's the only valid judgment in time and space.
Only is the spirit immortal, or the soul is mortal?
Yeah. Mortal means dead. You know that, don't you?
I do.
Okay. But God wants your soul to be so intermixed with the spirit that there's no difference.
There's no division. It's all.
Only this tripart versus this bipart versus tripart. You know, you're talking about soul and spirit, and others make a delineation between body, soul, and spirit. They add another dimension, I guess, to body and soul.
Yeah, the body is obvious. It's what contains their soul.
Right.
But the spirit is that which is eternal, that which, that divine impulse is the way Paul described it, that's within all men. We spend a lifetime resisting that. Because if we've overcome it, then that divine impulse is total and complete humility. So it can never it won't occupy where you are. And so any concern with self, the Holy Spirit and Christ, therefore, take the lower seat.
The spirit, which is timeless or not time dependent, is truly the only part of this that's pure.
Yeah. Well, the seat of Christ is pure. But the whole, you know, again, you've heard me say many times that most of us, most believers, don't believe in the Holy Trinity. They don't even know what it is. They believe in the Holy Quartet because they retain their own life and make the Holy Spirit an errand boy to satisfy their lusts. Lust doesn't just their wants. Amen. So don't believe in the quartet. Quartet is a lie. Take a big guy.
Good morning.
You know Bruce?
Yeah.
Rock, this is Bruce Morgany. Bob Adams. Very nice. You don't know Susan either. Susan Allman.
Suzanne.
It's a whole different name. I'm going to call you Susan for the rest.